Thanks, everyone, for your endurance, sticking around. I'm not sure I would have, to be honest, but anyway, thank you. So today, what I'd like to do is just a brief agenda. I'm going to tell you a little bit of my story to try to paint a picture of interoperability, talk about the goal, improved interoperability. I think we have interoperability, but what we need to do is make it more efficient and more effective. Go into a little bit about the facets of interoperability. What do we mean when we say we want to be interoperable? And then talk about the LIMS integration project, otherwise known as LIMS-I, and what that project is, what we're doing today, and where we're going in the future. Real quick objectives, and these are right from the abstract. We'll learn about basic concepts of interoperability, how LIMS-I is helping LRN laboratories to achieve interoperability per the FIN standards, and then update on the status and the future plans for the LIMS-I project. So my story, and again, I'm John Lipsky. There's another Lipsky at the conference. It's Dr. Nikolai Lipsky. Some of you may have attended one of his sessions. It's easy to tell us apart. He's the smart one. I'm the other one. So anyway, he actually is a very smart guy. Gave a great presentation. About 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago, I can't remember, to be quite honest. I started at the CDC. Prior to that, I was in consulting and variety of industries from finance to manufacturing, automotive, energy, you name it. And felt like I was kind of a jack of all trades and came into CDC and was interviewing for the project manager job of LITS Plus. How many people know LITS Plus? Yeah, a lot of hands. And I remember in the interview process and I'm thinking, you know, okay, here's a real nice application. It's already got a user's base, got a solid team. This is going to be a nice, quiet little project. Because I had been on a lot of high intense, high travel, a lot of hours, and I'm just thinking this would be a nice little change of pace. Well, I came in and on day one, I learned a couple terms. One was BT, bioterrorism. And with bioterrorism, what I also learned was that as soon as you have the task assigned to you, you're already 2 months late on your schedule. Because of the way we need to turn things around. I also was informed that we had an MOU to make LITS Plus NEDS compliant ASAP. And so I learned that in the federal government, we don't speak in words, we speak in letters. And I said, okay, NEDS compliant, okay, well, who's Ned? And can I meet Ned and find out what he wants us to do? Well, and I apologize to those that were at APHL because I used that same joke. Anyway, I looked at Emory and he gave me that wry smile. and learned about things like Loink and SNOMED. And I really remember sitting down with my team and we were trying to figure out. So Loink is for the tests and SNOMED is for the results. We were really at a very, very basic stage of understanding. And some might say I'm still at that stage, but that's okay. So that's really, you know, kind of day one. Day two, I was informed that Gartner was going to come in and tell us whether LITS Plus was NEDS compliant. Now, I suggested perhaps I should meet my team before I talked to Gartner, but that suggestion was kind of filed away. And so I met with Gartner, didn't really hardly know my team at the time, and they did an evaluation of LITS Plus and said, no, LITS Plus is not NEDS compliant. And honestly, I at that time couldn't articulate very well what that meant and what that didn't mean. And I was hoping I'd get more clarity out of that and kind of kept looking for answers. So fast forward a little bit, then I put on a hat as a StarLIMS project manager for NCID, the implementation of StarLIMS at CDC. I was told we needed to integrate with STARS and LUNA. Don't forget ASTRO and don't forget LSTARS. And so now I'm in another world and I'm like, wow, I'm on Star Trek now or something. And really, it's coincidental that besides STARS and LUNA, those are together, it's coincidental that all of them had such lunar-related names. And it really has caused confusion, to be honest, both internal at CDC and external. But that's for another conversation. So now NEDS has become FIN. right? Many of you probably were there when that transformation happened. And I'm a good soldier, so we're going to implement FIN requirements in STAR-LIMS, in our STAR-LIMS implementation. So, you know, I go to my laboratorians, hey guys, we're going to implement LOINC and SNOMED and OIDS. And they looked at me like I was a Klingon or something. And not a good one, by the way. The old Klingon from the original series, the enemy Klingon. And that's not an exaggeration, by the way. One thing that the laboratorians told me, and I think there's some lab folks in here, and it's good. Lab folks are pretty, they're willing to tell you what they feel. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but back to the Klingon theme. They pretty much told me, if you try to put LOINC and SNOMED in my laboratory system, we're going to beam your butt back to Alpha Centauri, Klingon boy. And so I said, lesson learned, we'll map LOINC and SNOMED in the background and we'll let the laboratorians use what they want to use. So I learned a lot. We had discussions, philosophical discussions on which value set to use for specimen, which is an ongoing discussion. Do I use HL7? Do I use SNOMED? I don't see Jim in here, but Jim Case actually brought that up in one of his presentations. And we were having those discussions years ago on STAR-LIMS as well. We had philosophical discussions on gender codes, the difference between unknown and ambiguous. And I'll let you insert your own punchline there. I'm a project manager, though, so I just want to get stuff done. I was like, give me a code. We'll put it in there. So I'll be honest, it was a frustrating world for me because I'm trying to learn what the requirements are, which wasn't easy, and then get them implemented, which is even more difficult. So I then transferred over to NICFI and had the opportunity to work on DLRN Results Messenger. And are you guys familiar with Results Messenger, most people? Okay. Well, I'll talk about a little bit about what it is, but I helped to try to get that launched, and I say helped because I was a small part of that as a great team that got that product out and deployed, and then switched gears, and now part of what's called the LIMS integration team. And so now I see myself as sitting on the other side of the table of the FIN requirements. When I first came to CDC, I really was more of a client, trying to figure out what they were. Now my role is to try to help explain what the requirements are and how they should be implemented. And I'll paraphrase a quote. Before I had children, I had half a dozen theories on how to raise children. But after I became a father, I had zero. And so I've now, you know, I think when I was on the other side, it was easy to kind of throw pot shots and say, wow, this should be clearer, this should be easier, what have you. Sitting on the other side of the table, I guess I'm a little bit now more sensitive to the fact that it's difficult. It's difficult to try to make it simple. It's difficult to try to communicate it and to support folks. So I've sat on both sides. I've sat on the side of trying to figure it out, and now I'm trying to help you guys figure it out. So that's a long version of my story. Mark, how many minutes did I take on that? Okay, cool. I've got a lot to go through. Thank you for indulging me on that. So interoperability, what is it? And I'll go fairly quickly through these. Just, I think you've probably seen other definitions in other presentations, but the ability of two or more systems or components to exchange information and to use the information that's been exchanged. I found another definition that I like, and I'll just focus on the last part of that without special effort on part of the customer. And I think that's where we're trying to go, really, is try to remove all the special effort that it takes to interoperate. Because it's happening today. It's happening today. It's just there is a lot of special effort to make it happen. Due to time, I'm not going to tell you about my tech support phone call. I'll tell you afterwards if you're interested. But that really was what I felt like afterwards in my experience of interoperability. Lab interoperability, again, it's happening today. It's happening with a lot of different formats, whether it's email, telephone call, faxes, a lot of human effort. I guess that's what that's supposed to mean right here in the middle, this guy. And can you tell what this is? I tried to make this. Smoke signals. Okay, excellent. So, but it's really a testament to public health because really, you guys will do whatever it takes to get the job done. And I've seen it. I've been a part of it. It's amazing. But what we want to do is try to make it more simple. Get rid of that extra human, special human effort there. Manual interoperability, really all this is a picture to show what you guys already know. There's a lot of paper that's exchanged today to achieve a lot of that interoperability, and plenty of elbow grease and heroic efforts. So I as a good IT guy, I put the cloud, the magic cloud, interoperability. Interoperability happens, and it looks real easy. But what's in the cloud? So I'm not going to go into detail on every one of these things, but only just to kind of call out some of the different facets and where they fit in and where they fit into the LIMS-I project. But you know, interoperability includes a lot of different things, and to get system-to-system interoperability, you really have to address a lot of these. Data message and transformation, taking data from a LIMS system and getting into a format that we're trying to use right now is HL7, and be able to exchange that. I was working with another lab, and he said, I see it more as a translation. Call it a message translator. Whatever you want to call it, it's something that takes data in one form and puts it into another form. Vocabulary management and distribution, I see John up here in the front, project manager of FinVADS. That's a really important piece as well. Using standardized vocabulary so we're all speaking the same language. Authentication, credential management, security, we need to get that data from one another in a secure fashion, because a lot of what we're exchanging, especially in the LRN, is sensitive data. We don't want somebody to just pick that up and misinterpret it, misuse it, or what have you. So we need to make sure that it's secure. Transport, and again, I'm not going to go, just for lack of time, go into all these, but again, just that's part of the picture. A couple other things, more bullets really that are more related to somewhat happens more inside the walls of CDC, because that's an integration issue in and of itself, is being integrated within CDC's own walls. And I think Brian will talk a little bit about that and STARS and how STARS supports that effort. And the yellow also shows a little bit of kind of interoperability and the need to provide not just the technical, but the programmatic services on the yellow there, really providing guidance, providing kind of liaison to standards groups, interpretation of what the requirements are. So my interoperability cloud and all the different pieces in there. So I don't know if you can read that, but it says, Mr. Osborne, may I be excused, my brain is full. Anyway, I feel that way. Maybe you guys are just have bigger brains or something. I feel that way every Fin conference I come to. So LIMS-I, let's talk about what LIMS-I is. It really grew out of two initiatives, the LRN Real-Time Data Exchange, which is a two-pronged approach to support standardized data exchange for the LRN laboratories. And the first prong being the LRN Results Messenger, CDC-developed application that's installed in over 160, Duane, LRN laboratories, both BT and CT. And it's meant to be really a bridge solution for laboratories to be able to exchange that data in a standard and secure fashion while they're working on their LIMS and their infrastructure to be able to utilize their own systems to accomplish that same standardized, secure data exchange. And so that the LRN Results Messenger and LIMS integration really go hand in hand to support that real-time data exchange. And grew out of Fin. We really, what LIMS-I is really a very constrained version of the Fin requirements for LRN laboratory messaging. If I really want to put a fine point on it, that's what we are. And I'm a picture guy, so just a really simple picture. I've used this before. But the ultimate goal is to say that based upon the use of standards, that whether you're using LRN Results Messenger, a COTS LIMS, a homegrown LIMS, or whatever, that we can all communicate with one another because we are using standardized HL7, LOINC, and SNOMED. Just a picture to show a little bit how Results Messenger and LIMS-I kind of are again, working together right now. Again, that number should be above 160 for the Results Messenger. And that's the support right now. Today, we don't have any labs yet. I keep looking at Willie. Sorry, Willie. But we're going to try to make Virginia first. don't have any labs that are sending HL7 messages to the CDC. Some are close. Some are closer than others. But right now, really, the data is being exchanged via Results Messenger. As time goes on, the thought is that as labs move to using their integrated LIMS, you know, the user base for RM will decrease, and those two will kind of work in concert. Purposely, I tried to make it a flat curve at the end because the reality is Results Messenger will be here for a while. I mean, there are going to be laboratories that will rely on that for various reasons. They don't have budget, they don't have technical expertise to do what they need to do to integrate their LIMS, and so we really see that this kind of flattening of a curve. And those numbers are all made up. Those are John Lipsky just out of the air numbers, but more to illustrate that point of as labs move towards LIMS-I, that the user base for RM will decrease. So how does LIMS-I support interoperability? A dedicated LIMS-I team. I'm very lucky to have a very strong, small, dedicated team. Business analyst Jason Scott sitting in the back, who helps me to try to keep things organized and coordinated, and that's a difficult job to do. I have Heather Yard, our vocabulary and subject matter expert, who spares me from having to get into the nitty-gritty and understand what's the difference between an IFA and a DFA. And Cindy Vinyon, who's way in the back, our data modeler and HL7 subject matter expert. We also, as the LIMS-I group within NICFI, have access to a lot of other areas of expertise in the CDC and outside of the CDC. I look around the room and I see several of them, and if I start calling out names, I'll probably miss somebody, so I apologize. But I'm humbled to work with the people that I work with on this. Really top people in this area help to contribute to the LIMS integration, both on messaging and vocabulary, and really on LIMS as well. So tools. I saw this quote, and I like it. A specification that will not fit on one page of 8.5 by 11 inch paper cannot be understood. Unfortunately, we're not there yet. I wish we were. I really, and I might butcher this one, but Einstein, I think, had a quote that everything should be made as simple as possible, but not simpler. And we're not there yet. I mean, I think there's more. We can simplify more than we are. I don't know that we'll ever get to 1 8.5 by 11 page piece of paper because it's a complex thing, but I will continue to drive us to say, let's make this simple, because again, back to the fact that when I was on the other side of the fence and trying to figure all this stuff out and implement it, I know it's a maze to try to go through. So we're really trying to help simplify that maze. So rather than going into depth on the documentation and the tools that we provide, I want to talk a little bit about what are the questions that we try to answer. How much time do I got? 5 minutes? Wow. Okay. So I will skip reading those questions because they come up in a later slide here. And I'm going to go through this one fairly quick. Don't worry about the details too much, but really want to show a picture. And I've talked to several of you about this. This idea of being able to take laboratory data from the LIMS, and the LIMS being responsible really for configuration, operational vocabulary, right? We don't expose our users to LOINC and SNOMED terms. It's their operational vocabulary and data input. And the idea being that that data go through some kind of a process. And I don't mean this to mean a software product. There are software products that can do that, but a process that can translate that into the different formats that may be needed by perhaps your different data consumers. Your state Department of Health may want an Excel report of that laboratory data. The LRN program, we're asking for HL7. We're asking for HL7 2.5. Your submitters, the people that you work with, may want a PDF, a hard copy report. It's a challenge to try to meet all those. This diagram is meant to try to show one approach to say, let the LIMS do what the LIMS does, develop something that will help with this idea of a translation and share that data with others outside. And I'm going to have to really fly. So back to my questions. One of the questions we try to answer for you folks is, what information do I need to store in my LIMS? If I'm going to ask for a data element in the message, you got to know up front that you're going to have to collect it. And that's really what we try to do. So this picture is kind of meant to show what might be captured in the LIMS, a subset, by the way. And then back to this idea of the message translator, and I actually changed my terminology there. How do I format the data to send to the CDC? And that's really what the HL7 is about and the guides we can provide. And we have some really good and specific tools that we can provide to you guys on how do you build that message? How do you format that message? And very simply, it's an HL7 file, and that's my version of HL7. But remember, I'm a project manager. What codes do I need to use for my tests and results? So I've highlighted here in your LIMS, you record results for maybe a real-time PCR, and that's what you call it. What we're asking for in the message is a code, a LOINC code, and we're asking for it in OBX3.1. Did I get that right? Thank you. Okay. It's 5.1? 3.1. Anyway, sorry. But a LOINC code. So there's a translation that has to happen there as well, and we have the codes that are expected to be assigned to all those LRN tests so that you don't have to find somebody to go through Realma and figure all that stuff out, and I'll tell you about Realma later. And then finally, simple, how do I send the file? And I put FinMS as an example. It's one of the tools that's available. It's not mandated that you use that. Requirement is to use EBXML standard. But it is one of the ways to send that data securely. So I'm going to have to really fly. So current activities, a LIMS-I work group. Many folks in the room are on that. And I will say that it's a very collaborative group. We've tweaked some of the requirements. We've tweaked a lot of the documentation based upon feedback from people in that work group that said, hey, this doesn't work for us. You guys, it was too much detail, or we don't understand this, or what have you. So that work group is, between 10 to 15 LRN laboratories that participate in that. Additionally, that it's a great forum for labs to share information with one another. And we've had great success with that as well. We work with LIMS vendors where we can. We've worked closely with Star LIMS on a CT module in West Virginia. Al Arrington here, and others. Again, as we're pulled in by the LRN labs that are working with a vendor, we're definitely open to working with those vendors to make sure they understand our requirements. Right around 20 labs are engaged in various stages. As I said, some are early on, kind of want to keep an ear to the ground, what's happening, what are the requirements. Others are closer and have done some test messages and what have you. So in various stages of the process. I already referenced with the LRNC, we work closely with West Virginia and Star LIMS to say, here are the LRN requirements that for data collection and data transfer. Let's help to get kind of a baseline module that can be used in other places that Star LIMS might be used. We're also working with the main BT laboratory and CDC about making sure that we can exchange data with them also seamlessly. Working on an enhanced playbook, again, to try to drive towards that simplicity that I was talking about. Future plans, enhance some of the import functionality that currently exists in the LRN Results Messenger to support states that are on an interim, right? They're not ready to build an HL7 message, but perhaps they could build an Excel spreadsheet that could be imported into Results Messenger and then sent. Continue to work with FIN and LRNC subject matter experts really to refine what are the standards there. HL7, is it CAS, the EPIs, or the substance, EPA substance registry. A lot of moving parts there trying to figure that out. And then develop some reusable components for laboratories. One specific thing we're working on for Rhapsody states is a configuration file that we can share with the Rhapsody states to allow them to map to that HL7 message we're asking you guys to produce. And we're working with Virginia on testing that kind of as we speak. So the team, I won't read their names because I'm running out of time, and they're all here, thanks guys. So do we take questions now or? Okay, are there questions? Okay. From the CDC back?
Yeah.
That's a good question, and I probably failed to have that on a future plan, but certainly the ability to have test order coming into CDC and electronic test results coming back, yeah, definitely part of the plan. Is there anything else you had in mind that I'm missing there? But yeah, electronic reporting from CDC back, definitely part of the future plans. Yes? Jason? I'll repeat the question. When will the LIMS playbook be ready? There's a draft of it that's out there. It's probably not what we want yet, and so we're tweaking it. It's really, we'd like to have it this fall. I'd like to have another version that's really got us a little bit more simple. I can't give you a hard date, though, but before Christmas. Thanks. Okay. Thanks, everybody.